Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
8:13 now, and it's Thursday morning, January 30th. January is coming to an end, but man, we've crammed a lot into it. Now's a great time to reflect on your New Year's resolutions, and there's been a lot to distract you. Are you meeting your goals, or do you need to get back on track? Dr. B joins us now, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, to talk about some common health-focused resolutions and to share some tips for helping them stick. How you doing, Dr. B? Happy New Year.
Hey, Tommy, how are you? And Happy New Year to you, too.
How'd you do with the snow and the boxers and everybody else?
We did really good, actually. The first time they've ever seen snow, and I could not get them to come inside. They had such a good time.
No kidding. Good for them. Let's talk about some examples when it comes to resolutions of health-focused resolutions.
Yeah, so, you know, this is actually the perfect time to start talking about those resolutions we made what seems like months ago. But, you know, a lot of those resolutions are usually related to healthy living. You know, we choose things like losing weight or getting more active or maybe eating healthier. Obviously, quitting smoking and cutting back on alcohol are really common goals that we see all the time. And what's important is if you stick with these goals, the lifestyle changes are going to really improve your overall health and well-being. And the problem is a lot of people end up abandoning those resolutions, sometimes only a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months into the year.
Why are they so hard to stick to?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons for it, and everyone's a little bit different. But if you're not careful, you might make a resolution that is just not achievable. So you have to be really careful about that. You might also spread yourself really thin. You know, really aggressive people may want tons of goals, and you can't necessarily achieve all of those. So it's really better to pick one or two areas that you want to focus on, and then make sure you really turn those into well-planned resolutions for the whole year.
Man, I know. I resolved for many years to be taller, and it never, ever did happen.
That's a tough one.
How do you make a good resolution?
Yeah, so I always tell people the first thing you want to do is really reflect on your health and figure out how you can improve it. And if you're not sure, then schedule a visit with your primary care physician. That's a great person to talk to. They know all about your health, kind of your full picture of what's going on in your life, and they can actually help you choose what may be good to focus on to improve your overall health. And a good example would be we have a lot of people with high blood pressure. And so your PCP may say, you know, I want you to eat healthier, or I want you to exercise more, because those habits are actually going to help lower your blood pressure and long-term will help to protect your heart.
So what are some tips to make an effective resolution?
Yeah, one of the most important tips about resolutions is be super specific when you create your resolution. You don't want to just say, I'm going to exercise more, because what does that really mean? It's not really clear, you know, what you're doing right now and where you're trying to get to, and there's no way to really measure whether you're successful in your resolution at all. So if you want to be real specific about it, you know, be more detailed. Say, I want to exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. That's going to give you a really objective goal that you can actually feel accomplished when you reach it. And then another part of that is also be realistic about your goals. You know, they should be challenging, but not completely overwhelming. You know, if you don't currently exercise at all, don't say you're going to run a marathon this year. You're probably not going to achieve that. Aim a little bit lower so that you can actually achieve that goal. Maybe train for a 5K, or maybe for some people it may be simply just getting out of the house and walking around the block every day. You can always expand that resolution later in the year once you've achieved your original goal.
What's something else to keep in mind?
So the other thing is, you know, these resolutions are supposed to be long-term changes, so you want to think long-term. They should and could become lifelong habits, and they don't develop overnight, so you want to focus on kind of small incremental changes to your routines, nothing too drastic. And you don't want to place your bets on something like a highly restrictive diet, for example. You know, those eating patterns are very difficult to maintain. Fads change all the time. It's better to maybe gradually swap out some unhealthy foods for some more nutritious alternatives.
So once we make a resolution, how do we stick with it?
Well, there's tons of research on this, and all of it shows that you're more likely to stick to a goal that's actually meaningful to you, so something that matters to you. So you want to think about how that resolution could improve your overall life. And, you know, things like managing stress could really help your emotional well-being. If you choose to eat healthier, that's going to lower your risk for a whole host of medical conditions. You know, if you choose regular exercise, maybe it's just to keep up with your grandkids that are running around the house. And keep in mind, when you have a setback or you feel unmotivated, remember why that goal matters to you, and that will help you kind of keep moving forward and remind you of why it's so important.
That is a great idea. You got another tip?
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is make your resolutions enjoyable. Resolutions are not supposed to be penance, you know. You can improve your diet without completely limiting yourself to bland, you know, meals. You want to really maybe resolve to explore different types of food, you know, different types of cuisine. Maybe set aside time each week to cook, you know, something new and healthy, and pick an ingredient to use on a weekly basis. It's kind of a fun way that you can expand your palate. And maybe you'll come up with something you really like that becomes a regular dinner time staple. And if you're not sure where to start, one really good place to start, we do this a lot in Louisiana, is look at what's in season. What's the seasonal produce that's out there? It's going to be cheaper in the stores, and it's going to be fresher as well. And so when you eat with the seasons, you can kind of let the seasons change that variety of flavors and nutrients that you get. So, you know, an example right now in the winter time, citrus fruit is really big, and so throwing some grapefruit or some satsuma pieces into your salad is going to really kind of, you know, zest it up a little bit, and it's going to make it new and exciting. Vegetables, you know, there's a lot of turnips and pumpkins and squash and zucchini around right now, so those are things that you can use as a side dish that are not kind of your standard starches that we typically eat.
So it seems like you're talking about making it fun, and I guess you could apply that to exercise as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, some people dread exercise, and part of that is because it can become monotonous. You really want to think about switching up your workout routine, because when your motivation drops off, you need to shift a little bit and try something interesting. You know, maybe pick a fitness class that's offered at your community center, you know, in the neighborhood, to do something a little bit different. There's so many options for exercise. You know, you can get out and do biking, you can do classes like yoga. You're not bound to just one activity, you know, and people who don't like or don't have the ability to get out of their house as often, you know, we've got a lot of online resources. There's a lot of videos online that you can look at that can help you do activities like Tai Chi or Zumba. You don't need a lot of special equipment to do those, or somebody who's coaching you the entire time, and that can be a lot of fun.
Thursday morning, 8:21, WWL talking. Good to have him back. Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. January almost at an end. We're talking about reflecting on your New Year's resolutions, and if they've gone the wayside, giving you some ways to get back on track. We'll have more tips for you when we come back. 8:22 now, traffic, WWL. 8:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, as we discuss ways, I guess, Dr. B, to resurrect your New Year's resolution if they've gone the wayside. And we've talked about keeping them health-focused and good resolutions and being specific and kind of like, I guess, you're trying to turn an aircraft carrier around, not a speedboat, right, when it comes to your behavior and eating habits and exercise and so forth?
That's a great analogy. Yeah, this is a really long-term goal. You just got to have a starting point.
Let's talk about some more tips about exercising, eating, and keeping your resolutions.
Yeah, I mean, a big one is really don't feel like you're in this alone. Almost everyone feels like they could do things a little bit more healthy, right? And so when you set your resolution, maybe talk with your friends and family and see if there's a resolution you could share. And that way you can kind of work towards it together. It's a lot more fun to exercise and cook when you've got a partner or somebody by your side that's kind of helping you. You know, they could be your support system. You can be theirs. It's going to help you stay encouraged, but they'll also hold you accountable, and you can do the same for them as well.
How about some other things we can do?
Yeah, this is really a big one is, you know, goals are only good if you reward yourself. We respond really well to positive reinforcement. And so a lot of times if you want to set interim goals for yourself, don't wait until you've finished kind of your dream goal or your dream resolution. You want to look along the way and say, okay, what do I get if I make it to this next stage? And you want to kind of acknowledge that success. It can be something big or it can be something small. That's going to help motivate you and keep you moving towards that, you know, that achievement. And then prepare for big challenges because we know they're going to come up. Probably a lot of you have already had challenges in the last couple of weeks. So when you make a resolution, think about what might stand in your way. It could be just a busy schedule or maybe social pressures that make you want to keep those bad habits going, and you want to have a plan for how you're going to address all of those challenges.
Give us an example of that, if you could.
Yeah, you know, this is a big one here and probably even escalating over the next month or so. But let's say your resolution is to drink less alcohol, but you're going to all these events where alcohol is present. So obviously you're going to be tempted and you've got to have a way to figure out how are you going to deal with that temptation. So, you know, a couple of things you can do. Tell your friends about your resolution and ask them for support so they're not, you know, trying to ply you with alcohol all the time. And maybe set a personal drink maximum. You don't necessarily need to tell people about that, but keep it in your mind. Like, you know, I've hit my limit and I need to move on to something else. And then, you know, it is a lot of the things we do are force of habit. So if you can sub out something, like rather than having an alcoholic drink, maybe have a soda in hand. Or there's a lot of bars that are selling mocktails now that actually look like alcoholic beverages, but they don't have any alcohol in them. And that's going to allow you to continue that social interaction, but also keep true to your resolution.
Any final advice, Doc?
Yeah, everybody's going to have a setback at some point, and that's really the most common reason for just saying, you know, I'll do this next year. But you really want to think about how can you get back on track, because it's going to be so important for your overall health in the long run. You know, look at those setbacks as just learning opportunities, and look at those challenges and how you can overcome them. So in the long run, you're really going to stick to these resolutions and become a healthier person.
Great advice, Doc. Thank you. Good to talk to you again, Dr. B. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. You can find out more about People's Health by going to peopleshealth.com. You can call them at 1-800-978-9765, or you can go to People's Health Medicare Center on Vets next to Party City. 8:31, time for WWL News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I know somebody that owns a shoring business, and they are the people that generally get called when buildings collapse in the city. So they had a pretty active December, January. Leslie Harris joins us now, New Orleans City Council member, to talk about what happened with building collapses. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I got to ask about the puppies. How are they?
They're great. They enjoyed the snow.
Might I remind you, Yonder Oath?
They loved it. Well, one loved it. The other one didn't.
Might have loved the snow. I don't know about eating the pillows on the couch. Tell me about building collapses, because it seems as though they kind of came in spurts, huh?
Yeah. District B had three building collapses in the last 3 months or so, all for different reasons, we think, and all in different states of repair. One was completely blighted. One had a responsible owner. One was about to undergo renovation, and they all collapsed. And so yesterday at the Quality of Life meeting, a joint meeting with Economic Development, we discussed how we can prevent buildings from falling in the future, including engaging a structural engineer to advise us on the best policies to ensure that buildings aren't falling, aren't endangering people, But we know that the city, which is a historic city, has a lot of blight and has a lot of buildings that are in danger of collapse.
So was it just coincidence that, I guess I'm trying to figure for commonalities and trying to find cause and effect, was it just coincidence that we had three of these in for different reasons in such a close time period, or is this something that you're looking to keep happening, I guess the question?
Well, hopefully it doesn't keep happening, but yeah. I think that we can look at the similarity between building collapse and also trees collapsing. So we know that we had a drought during the summer before last, and then we also have a lot of rain and moisture. And because of this, this is what the Preservation Resource Center said yesterday during the hearing. We're having buildings that are expanding and the materials are failing sometimes. We know we have termites here in the city. But the three buildings that collapsed for entirely different reasons. And so, again, that's why we need a structural engineer to tell us the best practices going forward to make sure, again, that we preserve the historic character of our city, but at the same time ensure that buildings aren't falling on people.
Did I see one story that was rotting, was covered up with plaster or something? Or tell me, a stucco, what happened there?
Yeah, so that was the building downtown. That building is in the hands of responsible owners. They were doing some renovations. And in the past, one of the methods for preserving brick was to add some brick coverage to it. And when that happens, the coverage stands, but the bricks behind it deteriorate, and that's the reason for the collapse that happened downtown. The collapse that happened on Magazine Street, there were four buildings that had been in a fire behind it, and we don't know if that somehow impacted the building that collapsed on Magazine Street. And the building that collapsed on Aretha Castle Haley just had an irresponsible owner, had several citations, and was in a deteriorating condition when it collapsed.
I hear a lot of different things there. I don't know how you,
yeah.
So when it comes to inspection by the city, and people are texting and asking about that, does the inspection office by the city enter into any of this at all, or could any of this been prevented by inspection, or was it all, pardon me, according to code and just happened, or do you know?
So, again, they do after-action reports. The building on Magazine Street, the one that was about to be under renovation, had to submit a permit to be renovated. But we learned yesterday that when those permits are submitted, nobody goes into the interior of the building. The structural review happens on paper. And so that is a big red flag that the structural review happens on paper rather than somebody actually going inside the building. Again, the one that happened downtown, there were engineers on site when it collapsed. So, again, there's no real commonality other than we know that the environmental factors are here, moisture, drought, blight, and then also we think about trucks and vibrations that happen with all the street repairs that can also impact these buildings.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. We'll talk about Super Bowl preparations and also about the homeless situation. It is 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. It's interesting about those building collapses. Hard to find commonalities, but they did happen. And Leslie, they did happen in a pack, and we might go 10 years without another one, right? I mean, that's pretty much what you've determined?
Hopefully. Yeah. But here's the thing. We need to make sure that it doesn't happen again, which is why we passed this resolution to engage a structural engineer to advise us on best practices. The commonality is that the buildings are all old, right? But we have a lot of old buildings in New Orleans, and we just need to make sure that they aren't falling down while we preserve the historic character of our city.
Let's talk about the homeless population in Orleans Parish, a center that the governor opened. And what's the situation on the streets? And I mentioned I rode around this weekend, and I really did all over the place, but I did it in Jefferson Parish. I didn't do it in Orleans Parish, and I was looking at just different stuff because I like to ride around on the weekends. I'll get to Orleans Parish this weekend. Tell me what the situation is, Councilmember.
Well, right now we know that there are about 170 people at the Governor's Transition Center. We know that the city's low barrier shelter is full. Ozenum Inn is full as well. We will have a point in time count, which happens yearly, to tell us exactly how many people are street homeless. That includes the counts in the shelters. You know, what we're hearing is that from the governor's transition center, only two people have been housed. And so my concern is that there aren't services on site to get people housed at the pace that we were housing people through the city program. And so, again, I'm here to work with the governor, not against the governor. We will do everything we can to partner with them to make sure that people are getting housed in safe housing rather than being in a shelter situation.
So are there people, and again, I'm not driven around, are there still people out on the streets in Orleans Parish?
Yeah. Yes, there are. What we're hearing is that people are leaving that transition center. Some are going into adjacent neighborhoods. I have a friend who happened to have someone who left the transition center, and they ended up on his grandma's porch. So we know that there are still going to be people who are street homeless. And again, we will do outreach and everything we can to get them into either shelter or into permanent supportive housing with services to make sure that they are stable, mentally stable, able to get jobs and move forward with their lives.
So are you talking to GOSEP or the governor's office, and are they planning any more action ahead of the Super Bowl, or do you know?
You know, we were just now included in those conversations. I asked a couple weeks ago to be included. On Monday, my chief of staff was included in those conversations. I will continue to ensure that our staff is included so that we understand what the governor intends to do. But I have not had a direct conversation with the governor.
Any final thoughts, council member, about the Super Bowl coming and the security measures put in place and so forth?
Yeah, I think we're going to be super secure. What I would encourage your listeners to do is look on social media to make sure they know what streets are closed, because we know that downtown's going to be jumping and there are going to be a lot of street closures.
See, I like the way you put that, because you give me the sugar with the medicine, because you say there's going to be street closures, but that's because why?
It's jumping.
It's going to be jumping. Downtown's going to be jumping. That's exactly right. And get out and enjoy it safely. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck with the dogs. Downtown's going to be jumping, y'all. 8:59. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk to Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, about the oil and gas industry